This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil'alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. Before we begin, inshallah, do we need the sister side audio on? Do we need the sister side audio on? We'll just bring the microphones. One second. Just bear with us a second while we connect the microphone, inshallah. That's fine. Okay, that's better. Maybe you can turn it just down a touch. In fact, you can turn it quite a lot down for the brother's side, and we just keep the sister's side. For upstairs, if you can hear me, you just need to switch off the speaker upstairs for those people who are upstairs. You just need to turn the speaker off. Just need to turn the speaker off upstairs. Okay. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala abdillahi wa rasulih. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So we are starting a new surah today. And this surah that we're starting today is our last surah in Juz'Amma. And that is Amma Yatasa'alu, Surah An-Naba. Surah An-Naba. Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he said, يَقُولُ تَعَالَى مُنْكِرًا عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي تَسَاؤُلِهِمْ عَنْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنْكَارًا لِوُقُوعِهَا عَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ أي أن أي شيء يتساءلون من أمر القيامة وهو نبأ وهو النبأ العظيم يعني الخبر الهائل المفضع الباهر. He said, this is Ibn Kathir, what he said about the ayah. He said that Allah the Exalted says about the mushrikeen, the polytheists. Now remember that most of the last part of the Quran, especially the Makki surahs, the surah Makkiyah, is directed towards the mushrikeen of Quraysh, primarily. And those are the ones that Allah is speaking about when he speaks about the disbelievers. In these surahs in Juz'Amma, the majority of it, not all of it, there are exceptions, but much of the times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the non-Muslims, He is addressing the mushrikeen of Quraysh. And He says to them, He tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ About what are they asking? What are they asking about? عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ They are asking about the great news. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ That they are differing over and they differ with each other about it. So the first question here is, who is meant by Or what is meant by yatasa'alun? What is meant by yatasa'alun? Yatasa'alun, it means to ask each other. So people are talking to each other and asking each other about something. And the thing they are asking about is an-naba'ul 'azim, the great news. Something which is extremely important and extremely scary and extremely يعني like Ibn Kathir, he said الخبر الهائل, something which is extremely, extremely, and it causes a fear to the people, and the people are asking about it. It's something very important, very severe. So what is it that they are asking about? And are they asking about it genuinely, or are they asking about it in order to reject it, or in order to, you can say, like, from the things that they did when they used to, not make fun, but when they used to ridicule the religion and they used to look down upon the religion. So people can ask a question genuinely and people can ask a question which is not genuine. So what are they asking about? They're asking about a naba'ul azim, some news which has come to them, something they have been informed about, which is very, very important. It's something very severe in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is it that they are being asked about, and is there questioning here? Is it something which is genuine or not? The scholars differed about what is meant by a naba'ul azim. They agreed that the people who are asking the question here are the mushrikun of Quraysh. The mushrikun of Quraysh, the disbelievers of Quraysh, that the Prophet ﷺ was sent among them, they are asking each other. And generally we know from them, usually, the situation from them is that most of the time they are not asking genuinely, and usually. They are asking, like Ibn Kathir said, inkaran. They are showing that they don't believe in it. Like, what is this? Is this really going to happen? They don't actually believe that it's going to happen. Okay, what is it? Two major opinions from the scholars of Tafsir. Ibn Kathir, he narrates both of them. He said, قَالَ قَتَادَ وَابْنُ زَيْدَ النَّبَأُ الْعَظِيمُ الْبَعْثُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَقَالَ مُجَاهِدٌ هُوَ الْقُرْآنُ. Ibn Kathir, he said, وَالْأَظْهَرُ الْأَوَّلِ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Pay attention here, because this one's going to need a bit of thought. Ibn Kathir, he said, Qatada and Ibn Zayd, رحمهم الله, they said that this huge thing, this huge news that they've been given, they're asking them about, it is the resurrection. So let me ask you a question, and the question is open to Telegram as well. What made Qatada and Ibn Zayd, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, say that the big news here that is mentioned in Surah An-Naba is Yawm Al-Qiyamah? Al-Ba'th, Ba'd Al-Mawt, being resurrected. Why did they think that this is the topic here? Anyone in the class can answer? The question is, An-Naba'ul Azim is mentioned in the surah. There is some huge news has come to them. It's really serious. It's really scary. It's really important. Why did some of the scholars of tafsir, what did they use to say, this is al-ba'th, ba'd al-maut? It's being resurrected after death. It's something that's going to come to them. Okay, that's a good start. So it's something that's going to come to them. Okay.
What about, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhi hum fihi yakhtalifun. Like some of them believe that, like, those people who believe, like, that they own the Qiyamah, but the other people, they didn't believe it.
Jameen, that's a very good point. And we're going to come to that, because what you brought as an answer is actually a problem. It's actually a problem. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. They are differing over it. Were the mushrikeen of Quraysh differing over al-ba'th ba'd al-maut? Or was it the case that the mushrikeen of Quraysh, all of them said, there is no ba'th? Generally, what do we know from them? Generally, from all we've studied in Juz Amma, did they believe in resurrection or not? They didn't.
No, they didn't
And from all of Juz Amma, they didn't believe in it. So why did Allah say, الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ? They are differing over it, they are not agreeing about it. When in reality, they didn't believe in it at all, except there is an answer, which is that those people who said what Qatada said, they said the same exactly as you said. They said there was differences among them. There were people in the mushrikeen of Quraysh who did believe in al-ba'th wa al-nushur. And this is a benefit, by the way, and it's important, that the Qur'an was not sent to a single group of people who all had the same aqidah, the same belief. Actually, you'll find some of them believed in resurrection, some of them didn't. Some of them worshipped trees, others worshipped stones. Some of them worshipped prophets, others worshipped the sun and the moon. And they had different beliefs among them. This is important because a lot of people confuse people when they speak about these issues by making it out that all of the people the Prophet ﷺ was sent to, all of them had a 100% identical belief. All of them were exactly the same. And that's not the case. That's not the case. Actually, they had different beliefs. So this is one answer, is to say that they had different beliefs. There were those who believed in the resurrection and those who didn't. However, the answer back to that is the majority of them, what was predominant among Quraysh, like for example, we say, yeah, there were among them those people who were Christians, like Waraqa ibn Nawfal, وَقَدْ تَنَصَّرَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. He became a Christian prior to Islam. But were they the majority? Were they a significant group of the society? No, they were a very small number of people. The majority of them were idol worshippers. The majority of them didn't believe in the resurrection. So still for Allah to say, أَلَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ, it still feels like they were differing. This was a major point of difference among them. But Ibn Kathir, he said what you said. Ibn Kathir, that's what he said. He said, أَلَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. The reason for this ikhtilaf is that there were people among them who believed in the resurrection and those who didn't, or people who are more inclined to believe in it and those who were less inclined to believe in it. So people who kind of, yeah, a little bit more, they were inclined towards it, people who were less inclined towards it, or something like that. But if we come to the statement of Mujahid, now here comes the question. This has got to, have we got anyone on Telegram today?
Yeah.
We have. This has got to come from Telegram. So they're not asleep. The question is, the opinion of Mujahid is that the difference they had was the Qur'an. They differed over the Qur'an. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. They differed over the Qur'an. Explain to me, how can it be that the mushrikeen of Quraysh, the disbelievers of Quraysh, differed about the Qur'an? Ibn Kathir, that's why he doesn't go for this opinion. Ibn Kathir, he said, well, أَظْهَرُ الْأَوَّلِ, it doesn't, I don't see quite how, what are they differing about? But there is a way which you could say that it actually makes it more likely that the ayah is about the Qur'an. But what aspect of the Qur'an were they differing about? What can you say that the mushrikeen kuffar, what were they differing about when it comes to the Qur'an? Let's see who can answer that one on Telegram. Give them a minute. You got an answer? Okay. They differed regarding the worship of Allah. Possibly, and I don't know, like, I mean, they all had times where they worshipped Allah and times where they didn't worship Allah. But we're not talking about the worship of Allah, we're talking about the Qur'an. How can you say they differed over the Quran? They're disbelievers, all of them. Kuffar. All of them. How did they differ about the Quran?
No. As far as we know, they believe in the Asma of Sifat and Uluhiyya. But at the same time, they didn't believe in Uluhiyya. So they used to worship different idols or like what you said, like trees or whatever. So, but they didn't believe in Uluhiyya.
Yeah, this is true. This is similar to what they said on Telegram, the issue of worship. But it doesn't answer the question yet about why they differed over the Quran. Like, not to do with worshipping Allah, the Quran itself. What did they differ when it comes to the Quran?
I think that's it. Is it about the resurrection, when you die, you're going to be resurrected? You want to say, when you die, you just die, finish?
That's the opinion of Ibn Kathir, but it's not the opinion of Mujahid here. Mujahid said the Quran. Some of their beliefs were the same as the Quran.
No, it wasn't the speech of Allah.
No, we're not talking about the speech of Allah. Never came to Quraysh. This is something the Greek and Roman philosophers and the Asha'ira and the people who came after them, they had this issue, the Mu'tazila and people like that. But this wasn't an issue for the mushrikeen of Quraysh. Excellent. هذا هو. That is the answer. That is exactly the answer. They differed about why the Quran is not true. Some of them said poetry. Some of them said sahir, he's a magician. Some of them said mu'allam, he's been taught. Some of them said, they said he's a fortune teller. They said he is a mad person. It's the speech of a mad person. They differed over why the Quran is wrong, is not true. And subhanAllah, if you take the ayah like that, then to me, and Allah knows best, I personally believe that this is a stronger opinion than the opinion that Ibn Kathir brought. Because the ikhtilaf they had over the Quran was ikhtilafun shadeed. They had so much ikhtilaf, they could not settle on one reason why they didn't believe in the Quran. They couldn't. It was one minute it was poetry, the next minute it was magic, the next minute it was insane, the next minute it was Ahl Kitab, the next minute somebody from the foreigners was teaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had so much ikhtilaf. Not ikhtilaf in believing it or not believing it. They didn't differ over whether they believed it or not. They differed over their reason for not believing in it. And this seems to me to be al-adhar, wallahu a'lam, and even more apparent of the ayah, because their difference over yawm al-qiyamah and al-ba'ath, ba'd al-mawt, resurrection was very little. Most of them rejected it. They didn't differ greatly among each other in that. But what they differed in greatly was this statement of theirs that some of them said it is poetry, and some of them said that it is the speech of a madman, and some of them said that he is being taught, and so on. And this seems to me to be the opinion of Mujahid. This seems to me to be the stronger opinion regarding the ayah. However, it is possible to join between what Mujahid said and what Qatada said, and say that if we say that their differing was over the Qur'an, then by default also they differed over what the Qur'an told them. Because the Qur'an is what came to tell them that there will be a resurrection. And it came to tell them to worship Allah, and it came to tell them that there will be a resurrection. So the fact that they differed over the Qur'an entails that they also differed over al-ba'ath. They differed over the resurrection. The use of the word naba in the ayah, the surah is called Surah Amma Yatasa'alun or Surah An-Naba. The word An-Naba here, it's more than al-khabar. You know, in Arabic we say al-khabar, it's news, right? Information. But news could be important or it could be unimportant. It could be important or unimportant. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word an-naba, an-naba is only used for what is important, very important. And that's why an-naba is one of the root words of an-nubuwa or an-nubuwa. An-nubuwa in this case. Like the qira'a an-nabi'een. An-nabi'een with a hamza. That this naba, it comes from a naba, that the word prophet, the word nabi, some of them said it comes from the word naba. Yani if you put a hamza on the end, the qira'a like that, an nabi, nabi'un, nabi'un with a hamza at the end. Then the meaning of the word nabi is the one who receives revelation. So the word naba is used for like wahi, revelation, and it's something very important. And it also comes from the word nubuwa. It also comes from the meaning of highness, loftiness. So the prophet is someone who is has a high status. Any prophet, any nabi, is someone who has a high status. And a nabi is someone who receives important information. Important meaning revelation. So the word naba is used for something which is important. Ibn Kathir, he said, ثم قال تعالى متوعدا لمنكر القيامة كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون. We didn't answer the question quite yet about why the scholars who said that the surah that the news that is being referred to here is the Qiyamah. They said based on the topic of the surah. They said the whole surah is talking about Qiyamah. The whole surah is talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah and al-Ba'ath and al-Nushur. What will happen to the people when they're resurrected and so on. So if the surah is talking about that, they said then that's what Allah is referring to in the beginning. And as we said, we can combine the two and say that they were differing with each other over the Qur'an, and they were differing with each other to a lesser extent over the Qiyamah. Now the question was, sorry, before that, are they genuine in this? No, in reality, if we're talking about the Ba'ath, then it's not a question of someone who's genuine. It's not someone honestly asking someone else. It's not somebody honestly asking someone else like, is it really true? Is this Qur'an really true? It's somebody asking who doesn't believe in it. I mean, none of them believe in it. Do you think it's poetry? You know, no, I think it's the statement of a madman. Like, it's not sincere. It's not sincere. It's not a sincere question that's been asked. They were not looking for knowledge and they were not asking for knowledge, but they were asking in order to reject. And that's not unusual for the disbelievers. In fact, even within the Ahl Kitab, the people of the book, also the people of the book mentioned the same thing. And people came to the prophets to ask questions who were not sincere. The Jews came to the prophets in Medina to ask questions. They were not sincere. Who is the angel that comes to you with revelation? If you say Mikhail, then we'll believe in you. And if you say Jibreel, we will not believe in you. These statements they made, they were not coming sincerely asking for knowledge. They were coming in order to reject, in order to make a problem. Then Allah says, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. كَلَّا, we've spoken about the word كَلَّا. It means it's not like you think. Yeah? The word كَلَّا, it means it's not like you imagine. It's a word of rebuke. لِلْإِنْكَار. It's a word of الزجر. It's a word of rebuking them and telling them that what you believe in is false. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah says they are going to know. And some of the scholars of Arabic, they said the sa here instead of sofa, it implies that it will be soon. Some of them said this, not all of them said it, but some of them said that the difference between sa and sawfa is that the sa indicates very soon, yani soon in a close time. Soon they're gonna come to know. Soon they're gonna come to know. And not all of them said that. They will come to know what Allah has prepared for his enemies and what he will do with them. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, they will come to know this news that they are asking about it. They will come to know that it is the truth and it will definitely happen. The statement كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون, the ثم here, most of them said, is not it's not like in order, it's not like they know something and then they know something else, but it's for تأكيد or توكيد, تأكيد I think they said, or توكيد, that it's to emphasize, it's to emphasize the fact that they are definitely going to come to know this. This will not be hidden from them. They will not, this question will come, will be answered for them. And this is, like Ibn Kathir said, it is wa'idun akid, wa tahdidun shadid. It is scary and it is a big threat, because a people who are asking a question without sincerity. So someone is asking a question and they're asking that question and they're not sincere, they don't want to know the answer. And then they're told, you are going to know the answer to this question. They inside of themselves already know the reality of this answer. They are just asking in order to, like they say, lil-istib'ad, yani they're asking in order to make it seem, it's never going to happen. Are we really going to be raised up alive? And you're telling us when we're bones and we're dust, you're going to be raised up alive again? It's never going to happen. So the way they're saying it is, they're saying it like it's never going to happen. And then Allah says to them, kalla. Kalla sayalamun. It's not like you think. You are going to know the answer to that question you asked. Even though you're asking it and you're not serious, even though you're asking it and making fun of it, that it's not going to happen, you are definitely going to know the answer to this question. You're going to know what is going to happen. Thumma kalla, and for certain you are going to know. We'll say one more time, and Allah doesn't repeat in the Quran. That's a principle we took in tafsir. Allah does not repeat in the Quran. Everything that is said more than once is said for a reason and a purpose. Because repetitive speech that doesn't have a benefit in it, that repetitive speech is not befitting for Allah. It's not appropriate for Allah to say that Allah has repetitive speech that doesn't make any benefit or doesn't have any benefit to it. Rather, each ayah has a meaning and each ayah has a reason for it, even if the words are the same words. So here the emphasis that they will certainly know. And the sa here, according to some of the scholars of Arabic, it indicates in the near future, in a very, very near time, you people are going to realize the reality of what you are denying. And that's why Ibn Kathir, he said, this is a severe threat and a strong promise of punishment. It's a severe threat and a strong promise of punishment. Ibn Jarir, as we said, he said, what they're going to know is, they're going to know that really this Qur'an, or whether you say Qur'an or Yawm al-Qiyamah, is true. They're going to know that it's true. And this, if we are talking about the Qur'an, it didn't even require them, we're not even talking about for them for the moment of death. So there are three ways. There are three ways that approximately, that these people could come to know the truth of this matter. The first is, of course, that they die. And when they die, they see the angels and they see the punishment of the grave and the reality of this matter, and they realize that they were wrong. And they may die in the near future. Remember, some of these that were threatened with this punishment, they died in the battle of Badr. They died And in the early days of the Muslims fighting against them, in the time when the Muslims were in Medina, so they came to know very quickly. It was not many years before they knew the reality of what it is they were denying. The other thing is that if we are talking about the Quran, as time goes on in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the people can see the truth of it. Even if they didn't believe in it before, or even if they didn't know it before, but they can see the truth of it clearly as people enter Islam into crowds, as Islam becomes strong, as the conquest of Makkah, as all of these things are happening around them, the miracles that they see in front of them, they come to know that this is certainly the truth. So they may come to know in this life, or they may come to know after they die. And they may die, some of them died very quickly within the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. It was not long before many of these people who rejected the Quran and they rejected the Qiyamah, they died. And they came to know the reality of what it was that they were facing. Like in the Battle of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ spoke to the dead people, the non-Muslims who were killed, and he spoke to them. And this was a time when, as a miracle, Allah caused them to hear. Normally they don't hear. إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You can't make the dead people hear. But in this case they heard when the Prophet ﷺ said to them, in the Battle of Uhud or in the Battle of Badr, I forgot which one, when he spoke to them and he said that we've certainly found our promise, the promise of Allah, to be true, or words to that effect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins to tell us some of the signs of His power. And normally, what's the reason why Allah tells us the signs of His power in the Makki surahs most of the time? It's to show that the resurrection is something which is true. And this supports the opinion of Ibn Kathir, that the meaning of a Naba'ul Azim is the resurrection. It supports the opinion of Ibn Kathir, because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَجَعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. أَلَمْ نَجَعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Have we not made the earth a resting place? A place to live, a place of, like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, ذَلُولًا لَهُمْ قَارَةٌ سَاكِنَةٌ ثَابِتَةٌ. We've made it a place which is stable, and a place which they can live in, and a place which has been subjugated for them, and a place for them to stay in for a time. Have we not made the earth mihada? Have we not made the earth as a place for them to stay, a place for them to rest? And we know that this is from the evidences which shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to show the resurrection, because at the end of all of these things that Allah mentions, Allah says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. That after saying that, did we not make the earth? And then Allah tells us all of the things that He did for people on this earth and what He provided for them. And then Allah says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. That the day of separation, the day of Qiyamah, the day when the people will be separated, this has a set time. It has a fixed time in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mihad, this word mihad, it's like what you put, like they say, ma yudau lissabi. And what you put like for, you know, what you put that a child, like a baby or something, they sleep on it and they, you know, they sit on it and they play on it, like a mat, like a mat or a like a mattress or a bed or something like that. Not like any like a what do they call it? Like a like the mat that you put down for the children to play on. Yani they the baby they sleep on it and they sit on it and they play on it and they rest on it. Any a place of comfort and a place of rest. And a place of play, and a place of sitting, and a place like it's a place where you can stay, a place where you can stay. And so that's the comparison that's been given to the earth, that you've been given a place that you can sleep on, a place you can earn your living, a place that you can, you know, you can meet with people, and you can. It's been provided for you, this earth like that. Alam naj'al al-ardha mihada. So people, what do? And the people, they travel, they sleep, they sit, they look for what benefits them, they work and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it as an appropriate place for them to live. And I think maybe that's the best translation you could give. It's an appropriate place for them to stay and to live. And it's sakina, like Ibn Kathir said. It's settled. Could you imagine, yani, if you were living on a land which is in a constant state of earthquakes, you know, like constantly shaking, it doesn't sit for you. So you imagine how will you, you know, how would you be, subhanAllah? Like you find yourself that you can't walk out of the door, you fall over. You know, this earth is a place which is settled for you. Allah has made it firm for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it suitable for you to live on and suitable for you to rest on and so on. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. Awtad, we spoke about it. Which surah did we speak about the awtad in it? Which surah? Does anyone remember? We spoke about it. Surah Al-Fajr, we spoke about it. We spoke about Fir'aun, right? We spoke about Fir'aun. Who is Dhul Awtad? And if Fir'aun was described, Awtad, we know, they are the pegs or the stakes that you put a tent up with. You hold a tent up with. Like if you drive a stake into the ground, a big stake into the ground, like a big pointed wooden piece or metal piece, and you drive it into the ground, this is what they call awtad. Awtad. So Allah says that He made the mountains as stakes or pegs. Ibn Kathir, he said, أَيْجَعَلَهَا لَهَا أَوْتَادًا. He made the mountains as stakes for the earth. And as if when you put your tent and you drive the stakes into the ground so that the tent stays firm, the mountains are driven into the earth like that. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. So because of the mountains, so it becomes he said, حَتَّى سَكَنَتْ وَلَمْ تَضْطَرِبْ بِمَنْ عَلَيْهَا. The earth becomes still and it doesn't shake because of the mountains. The earth becomes still and it doesn't shake because of the mountains. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And we created you أَزْوَاجًا. We created you in pairs. Ibn Kathir, he said, ذَكَرًا وَأُنْثَى. يَسْتَمْتِعُ كُلٌّ مِّنْهُمَا بِالْآخَرِ ويحصل التناسل بذلك. Allah created you as pairs. Pairs means male and female. And the meaning behind that is Allah created you in pairs that are suited for each other. Yani the man that is suited for the male is suited for the female, the husband and the wife. This creating you in pairs and creating the two genders, male and female, this is from the big blessings, the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. From the signs of Allah is that He has created for you from yourselves spouses, so that you may find tranquility with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He's placed between you love and mercy. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. There's ayat for the people who think. So the fact that Allah has created you in pairs and He's created for you the spouse, so the husband and the wife, and then from them they have children, and then through that the human race carries on. At-tanasul, you have the people have kids and they have kids and they have kids and so on. This is the meaning of وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. We created you in pairs, husband and wife, male and female. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. Ibn Kathir, he said, أي قطعًا للحركة لتحصل الراحة من كثرة الترداد والسعي في المعايش في أرض النهر. He said that we have made your sleep subata. We've made your sleep subata, a means to rest. A means to rest. قطعاً للحركة. So it stops you from, and you don't move. And when you sleep, Subatan, Ibn Kathir, he said, قطعاً للحركة. It means you don't move. When you sleep, you don't like, while you're awake, you're always going everywhere. You stand up, sit down, move over there, over here, go to the masjid, come back from the masjid. You're always moving around. When you sleep, you don't move at all. You don't move at all. قطعاً للحركة. So that you may find rest from all of the efforts that you make in the things you need to do in your life during the day. And he said this has already been mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan. And this subat, yani the word subat, itself, it comes from the word ar-raha. Yani it goes back to the meaning of ar-raha, finding rest and tranquility. And for this reason, you have the word As-Sabt, the name As-Sabt. And like how Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبَتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. And the day of As-Sabt, in the meaning that comes with, the meaning of Sabt in for them, it is الراحة, the day of resting, and for the Yahud, the day of resting, and the day which they don't do their actions. So the same word, subata, here, we have made your sleep a rest. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. We made the night libasa. We made the night as a clothing. How is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the night time as a clothing? What's the meaning of that? That Allah describes the night time as a clothing. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And where has this meaning already come in Juz Amma? Two questions. What's the meaning that Allah has made this night as a clothing? And where has this already come in Juz Amma?
Because the night covers the day.
The night covers the day. Okay. The darkness. Why a clothing though? Darkness is not necessarily a clothing. Okay, to protect you. To protect you, there's another word also we're thinking of here.
It conceals.
It covers everything up, right? Clothing, the meaning of the word libas is something which covers you, right? It covers you up. يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Yani Allah made clothing that covers you up. So the night time, it covers and it conceals. Yes? Yeah, that's it. That's what I was looking for in Surah Layl. That's where we already talked. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. When it covers. It covers up. Ibn Kathir, he says, it covers people up with its darkness and its blackness. As Allah said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. Or he said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. In Surah Ash-Shams, we already spoke about it as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by it. He swore by the darkness when it covers. And this is part of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. And I'm thinking of the ayah. In Surah Al-Qasas, that's the ayah I'm thinking of. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Say, do you see, if Allah made the night time last forever until Yawm al-Qiyamah, which God would bring you light? Do you not hear? Do you see that if Allah made the daytime last forever until Yawm al-Qiyamah, which God would bring you a nighttime in which you can rest? Do you not see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Qatada said, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا أَيْ سَكَنًا. We made the night libas, as meaning we made it peaceful. That's what Qatada said. And Qatada and Sa'id ibn Jubayr and others. And these two go together. Because of the darkness and the covering, because the libas is what covers you, the clothing covers you, and the darkness covers you, it causes you to be tranquil. Actually, that's something that's changed, you know, subhanAllah. It's one of the things that in our time today, it's gone against the fitrah, right? With these, you know, the all the electric lighting and what have you. That when the darkness comes, in some places when the darkness comes, people start going out. And there's nothing forbidden about, you know, once Maghrib time is gone, apart from Maghrib time, which is disliked. But yani once the time of Maghrib has passed, then people go to the Salah and so on. But the Sunnah generally, and what the people were upon until very recently, in very recent times, is that people, when the darkness would come, people would rest. That was the time to rest. And the time for prayer, the night prayer, and the time for, you know, some of them seeking knowledge by candlelight. But they would, that was a time of tranquility and a time of rest. And only now, yani, the people, you know, stay up until the early hours of the morning, going out here and there and everywhere. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا, meaning Allah has put the daytime for al-ma'ash. Allah has put the daytime for you to be able to live in it, for you to be able to do the things that you need to do to be able to live. And He made the day for your livelihood, you could say. Allah has made the day for you to live in it, for you to earn a living, for you to do what you need to do in the daytime. And that's one of the things, any, these two ayat are one of the evidences that we mention in Ramadan, you know, to criticize those people who they spend the whole day asleep and then they spend the whole night awake, but not awake praying, and they just spend the night awake, just they sleep the whole day. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the day for and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the night for. He didn't make the day and the night for this. He made the night to cover you, for you to rest in, and He made the day for you to earn your living in and your livelihood in. And that doesn't mean that it's forbidden to earn a living at night for those people who work at night, but it's not the asal. It's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made normal for people. And that's why even now, people who work night shifts, they have health issues, right? Generally speaking, like working night shifts, not good for you. And that's different from praying at night. Praying at night is different. But somebody who works all night, and they work all night and sleep all day, it causes a lot of health issues that are well documented. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make the nighttime for working and the daytime for sleeping. Even though it's not forbidden, but Allah didn't make it for that. And so when you do the opposite, you find difficulty in yourself and you find it hard in yourself. Ibn Kathir, he said, we made it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it, mushriqan muniran mudi'a, full of light. The word ma'asha doesn't mean full of light. When Ibn Kathir said full of light, he means we made the daytime a place for you to live, and the reason it's suitable for you to live and earn your living is because it's full of, because it's full of light. So the tafsir here is not the tafsir of the meaning, like Ibn Kathir is not saying the meaning of ma'asha is mushriqan muniran mudi'a. It's not the meaning that it's full of light. But what it means is that it's the time for you to live and earn your living. And the reason you can live and earn your living and you can get your jobs done in the day is because of the light that Allah has placed in that daytime. And we mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-Qasas that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the daytime last forever, who would bring you a nighttime? And if Allah made the nighttime last forever, who would bring you a daytime? So he said, ليتمكن الناس من التصرف فيه والذهاب والمجيء للمعاش والتكسب والتجارات وغير ذلك. Allah made it possible for people to be able to go and do their things, to come and go, to earn a living, to do business and other things. Allah made it possible to do this in the daytime. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here was the fitrah. That's what is natural for people. It's natural for people to work hard in the day, and it's natural for people to want to rest in the night. Aside from, as we mentioned, the things which are mentioned in the nighttime, like praying at night and so on. And the fact that people go against that fitrah today, it doesn't have a ruling attached to it, but it's not something that is necessarily natural to you as a person. And that's also, and we can take from that, we also saw in Juz'amma, if we're wrapping up our themes for Juz'amma, we're wrapping up the meanings we took from Juz'amma, we saw the benefit of getting up early and going to bed early. And generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the times that He swore by? He swore by al-duha, the early part of the morning. He swore by al-fajr, the dawn when it comes. This time is the most barakah for getting work done, the most barakah. And there is a hadith, some of the ulama said it's authentic, some of them said it's not authentic. The hadith, Burika li ummati fi bukuriha, the barakah of my ummah has been put in the early morning. The early morning. And we heard the many examples of that in the tafsir of Juz'amma, where we can take from it the value of working in the early morning and getting up in the early morning, as opposed to sleeping after Fajr and then losing most of the morning and then staying up late in the night time. It's not the fitrah, even if it's not forbidden. It's just not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made natural to people. And you can take that from this ayah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. This is what we made the night for, and this is what we made the daytime for. And the fact that Allah made the nighttime a libas, a clothing, doesn't contradict what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the night prayer. Because what's the benefit of the night prayer? Like, what makes the night prayer so special? What makes the night prayer so special? It's a time of al-nuzul, al-ilahi, right? The time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven, the last third of the night. But it's a time where you're covered and concealed. Maybe nobody knows you pray, you know, nobody knows if you pray or not. You pray in the darkness of the night, everybody else is sleeping, you show your commitment to Islam, and you pray at a time where you are covered up by the night. There's no, you know, it's a time of tranquility, it's a time of peace, and it's a time where you're covered up. There is no one to see you. It's a time of sincerity as well. So that doesn't contradict what Allah said. We made the night time as a clothing. وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبَعًا شِدَادًا. And we built over you seven shidada, seven strong heavens. Seven strong heavens. Ibn Kathir, he said, السماوات السبع في اتساعها وارتفاعها وإحكامها وإتقانها وتزيينها بالكواكب الثوابت والسيارات. He said, the seven heavens, they're so huge. I remember, subhanAllah, I went to Mecca and I went to the, I don't know if you've been to Mecca, they have the clock tower, and inside they have a museum about the universe, or they had for a while. I don't know if they still have it, but it was about the universe, and they had, like, you know, some pictures of that of space and the stars. And Allah, when you see how vast it is, how huge it is, and subhanAllah, we are talking about now, people are talking about, you know, the moon, talking about Mars, yani the people with the furthest vision, yani they are talking about sending a probe to Mars, or sending people at some point to Mars. Yani this is nothing, yani this is like next door compared to the size of the universe. So really, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as Saba'an Shidadan, seven strong heavens, it's vast. Like, that's why Ibn Kathir, he said, Fittisa'iha wa artifa'iha, how vast they are. And how high they are, وَأَحْكَامِهَا وَإِتْقَانِهَا, and how they've been made, and they've been done so perfectly, and how they've been decorated with the stars that are ثَوَابِت, that stay in their place, and the stars that are سَيَّارَات, they move around. And some stars move in the sky, and some stars are fixed, have a fixed position. in the sky. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا. We made سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا. We made سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا, a burning lamp. Siraj is a lamp, and wahaj is a lamp that is burning bright. Ibn Kathir, he said, Ash-shams al-munira ala jami' al-alam, ala jami' al-alam allati yatawahhaju dawha li ahli al-ardi kullihim. The sun, the light of the sun reaches the whole earth, everybody on the earth, from the light of the sun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the example of the sun as the example of a lamp, but it's not a lamp that lights up a place, it's a lamp that lights up the whole world. The word wahaj, the scholars of tafsir, they say it has two meanings. It has the meaning of al-ida'a and the meaning of al-harara, both together, something hot and bright. So really you could say sirajan wahaja, a hot or a burning lamp, yani a burning in the sense it's hot and it's bright. It's bright and it's hot. Ibn Jarir said something very similar, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's like it's fueled and full of light. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. And we sent down مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ, from the rain clouds, ma'an thajjaja, pouring water. لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا, so we may bring forth grains and vegetation. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا, and gardens which are intertwined. The growth, the plants grow in between each other. إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. We're going to go back to وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا, but we're going to do it next week inshallah. But we just want to understand the context of what Allah said. So Allah mentioned all of these things, why? To show His qudra, to show His power over His creation. And that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who did what? The one who laid out the earth as a place for you to live in, the one who made the mountains as pegs or stakes, the one who created the male and the female and made it possible for them to live together and have children together, the one who made your sleep a rest, the one who made the nighttime a clothing for you, the one who made the daytime an opportunity for you to earn your living, the one who built the seven heavens above you with all of their vastness and their strength and their severity, the one who placed the sun as a burning lamp, the one who sent down pouring water from the rain clouds, the one who brought forth the grain and the vegetation, and the one who gave you gardens where the plants grow into one another, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. All of that was for one reason. That entire discussion, all of it, is in order to show the power of Allah to resurrect mankind. The one who can do all of those things, is it hard for him to resurrect mankind? No, it's not hard. إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. The day of judgment is at an appointed time. So inshallah ta'ala, next week we will cover from وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. We will start from there inshallah ta'ala. But we understood that the context of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying up to now, all of it is to do with proving His power to resurrect people. That now takes us back to An-Naba'ul-Azim. And we said that the opinion of Ibn Kathir, which is the opinion of Qatada, Ibn Zayd, rahimahumullah ta'ala, that al-Naba' al-Azim is Yawm al-Qiyamah, is al-Ba'ath wal-Nushur. Because the whole of the surah is talking about Allah's power to resurrect people after they die. And so al-Naba' al-Azim is either al-Ba'ath wal-Nushur, being resurrected, or al-Naba' al-Azim is the Qur'an, with what the Qur'an contains in terms of the promise of resurrection and what will happen to you after you die. So that brings us to the end of the class, but we'll see if we have any time for questions or any quick questions. Yes.
Wa yakum. I have a question about the sun. If you was told, what is the define of the sun? Like, how would you describe it? So is the sun like Nur, or it is Nur, or a ball of the fire? Like, because as far as we know, I was told, okay, so if you burn something, like, I don't know what you call this in English, but if you put a glass on it, so the fire will off, because there is no oxygen inside the glass. So in the cement, we see, like the scholars, like those people who search for information about the sama, everything, like the whole planet, they say, so there is no oxygen, like,
yeah,
on the moon. So, but why moon is like still burning?
I understood your question. So if we look at how the Quran describes the sun and the moon is described as a burning light, sirajan wa haja. Ibn Jarir, he said something like, he said that it has like a waqood, it has like a fuel of its own. It has its own fuel. So the word wahaj is used for something that is burning, and something which is burning, and something which is bright. But the word nur, which is used for the moon, is not used for that always. So the idea that the moon reflects the light of the sun, or the moon, it shows the light from the sun, and it's lit from the light of the sun, there is no issue with that. In fact, the word nur would support it, and it wouldn't go against it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the moon as nura. It's a light. But the word he uses for the moon is different from the word he uses for the sun. For the sun, he uses a word that it's burning. And for the moon, he doesn't use the word that it's burning. So the moon is a light without burning, and the sun is a light which is burning. As for how it's burning, they say it's because of nuclear, that either like nuclear or whatever they call it, energy or something like that.
Is that fire or light?
And it's the fire of the atoms, whatever it is, like burning fusion or whatever. But in the Quran, it doesn't give us that much detail. It just tells us that it's burning. It's burning. It's burning and it's light. So there's light and there's heat. Whereas the moon, we don't get heat from it. We just get light from it. Like as if it is just like a mirror that is reflecting something else. It doesn't burn itself. It just provides light, nothing else. And that would seem to agree with what we are told by people about the sun and the moon, that the sun is a ball of fire where there is these like nuclear type of reactions and burning is happening. And the moon is not on fire, but the moon is just reflecting the light of the sun. That would seem to agree with the words that are used in the Quran. It doesn't have to be exactly, but the words used in the Quran is that the sun is on fire and the moon is not. The moon is just a light, that's it. It just provides light, but it doesn't provide fire or heat. And Allah knows best. Do we have any other questions for today? Do we have any questions on Telegram?
What does it mean that the spouse has been created from themselves?
the spouses being created from themselves. There are two meanings to this. One is the meaning as it relates to Adam, that Hawa was created from the rib of Adam, from the bent rib. So Hawa was created from Adam. That's one meaning. The other meaning is that your spouse is not a different species to you. Does that make sense? She, yani, your wife is a human and you are a human. Yani, Allah made you this from each other. And yani, you are the same species, the same type of thing. And you're both human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make it that there is a human being and there is something else. Or that a man is something and a woman is something else. Yani, Allah made both from the same species, the same people, yani, both of them are human beings. That's one meaning, and the other meaning is that Hawa came from the rib of Adam. Those are the two that come to my mind in the tafsir of the ayah. Min anfusikum, from yourselves. Meaning not from, I think that the Ibn Kathir, if I'm not mistaken, he said something like, not from someone, not from something else. And your wife wasn't made from some, like that she is something different to you. So Allah created within human beings, within the human race, Allah created males and females. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Is that the end of the questions? Okay, in that case we'll stop inshallah. 20 minutes we have Isha prayer. And that's what Allah Azzawajal made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.